The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. You know, many Christians really believe in the blessing of God, right? And they really stand in faith that if they obey God, His blessing will follow them. But something that's really important to remember is you have to ask yourself, well, why is it that God blesses His people? Why is it that God would want to bless you? And the truth is, yes, it's because He loves you. But God doesn't just bless us for ourselves so that, you know, we'll be comfortable, so that we'll live, you know, a nice life and not have to worry about anything. No, the truth is that God blesses us so that we would become a blessing for other people. We aren't supposed to live for ourselves because, oh, I want this or I want that or that'd be nice. We're really supposed to live in such a way that we make the world around us a better place through the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see, when God called Abram in Genesis chapter 12, He gave him this instruction. He said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you, right? So God is taking Abram to this place that Abram doesn't know, right? It's some calling Abram doesn't understand the fullness of. But He says, but if you do this, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing, right? So God's going to bless him and He's going to make his name great. He says, I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And you see, in this calling, you have to understand Abraham's blessing and him being a blessing to others are bound together, right? And it's in such a way to where you can't separate them. And this is something we have to understand, which is that us being a blessing and us being blessed cannot be separated from one another, okay? And so if there's something that you're believing for, something that, oh, you're hoping for, oh yeah, this is going to happen, but being a blessing to others is no part of it, then it's not actually from God. The calling of God is something to where we are partaking in the manifestation of this thing that Jesus prayed for, which is thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, okay? So the calling of God that He's placed on our lives cannot be separated from that calling. We are blessed to be a blessing to others and to make the world around us a better place, to bring heaven down to where it would be like heaven on earth. The will of God as it is in heaven manifesting here on earth. That's part of our calling, guys, okay? And so we at Freedom Fellowship Church, you know, we talk a lot about how God is looking to establish Christians in various industries, finance, politics, education, media, entertainment, technology, all these places. He's sending people to those nations because He intends to give them dominion in that place. But it's not just so that, oh, we're going to be rich and you're going to do this and that. No, the reason why God intends to send us to those nations is because we're going to be a blessing to those places. And this is part of what Jesus tells us, which is that, you know, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14, He says, you are the salt of the earth, right? Me and you, we're the salt of the earth, and which means we're supposed to preserve life. We're supposed to prevent things from going bad. That's what salt does. It was an agent that prevented meat from, you know, spoiling, where you could store it for a while and you could eat it later and it would be safe, okay? So we're supposed to be this preserving power. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Which means if we, the body of Christ, if we're not fulfilling this mission of manifesting the kingdom of God, of pursuing God's will and establishing it wherever He sent us, we're not useful in the kingdom of God. We're not profitable in the kingdom of God. We have to be exercising God's will. If not, we're just wasting time, okay? He continues and says, you are the light of the world, me and you. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We're supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be able to provide the solution to the issues people are facing in the world. And this is the reason why it is not profitable or productive for Christians to sit around complaining. Oh, look at how horrible what they're doing over in Hollywood is. Oh, look at how horrible what they're doing in Washington is. It's one thing to be aware of the issues. It's another thing to go online and just, you know, start complaining, because all you're doing is focusing on the darkness. That's not being the light. You have to understand, once you become the light, the darkness can't sit around anymore. The darkness has to flee when the light gets turned on, right? So if all you're doing is looking at the darkness, you're not actually doing your job, okay? This is the reason why at Freedom Fellowship Church, we focus so much on the Great Commission. And we tell everyone, you have to follow it. That's the command that Jesus gave us, which is to go into the world making disciples of every nation. This includes nations like, you know, foreign nations, the kind of political nations we know of, you know, like China, America, the United Kingdom, right, France. There's those nations, and then there's the nations of the industries where God's sending us to, because a nation is a group of people with some sort of united culture, united vision, united heritage. And if you look at a place like Hollywood, that's a nation, right? So we're supposed to be making disciples, training people in the ways of God wherever we go. And we emphasize this on so much, which is why the vast majority of our resources are sent on training people, both here in America and overseas. Speaking of which, Pastor Chris is just about ready to go to the Philippines in this next month. And so continue to cover her in prayer as she's preparing for this month-long mission trip in the Philippines coming at the end of April, okay? But we're supposed to be the solution for the problems they're having in the world. And this is something, for example, that Joseph understood, okay? Because, you know, Joseph in his story, he kind of had it bad, right? His brothers sold him into slavery. He became a slave to Potiphar, right? And then he was a good worker. Potiphar started to trust him with everything. And then he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown in prison, right? So he went from bad to worse, right? And Joseph, in the natural, had every reason to be bitter or resentful and think, well, I was dealt this horrible hand at life. You know, why have I gotten all these bad circumstances? I did everything right and everything bad happens to me. But Joseph remained faithful. Joseph trusted in God. And he was somebody who was trustworthy no matter the circumstances he was in. And because of that, God was able to entrust him with guardianship over all of Egypt. But Joseph understood, right? So he went from these dire, really bleak circumstances to prime minister over all of Egypt in an instant, right? It says in Genesis chapter 45, though, it says, and this is when Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. He says, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh and lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt. Now, isn't this amazing? Joseph realized, I have been put in this influential and prosperous position, not for myself. I was put here so that I would be able to save many lives and bring deliverance to people. Because you have to understand, Joseph brought deliverance not just to his family. The entire nation of Egypt was spared from this famine because of his obedience to God. And it goes even further than that, because all of the surrounding nations were coming to Egypt because Egypt was the only place that had food. So this position that Joseph was given was influence over all of Egypt and over all of the surrounding nations. This is the kind of thing we're talking about when we're talking about God elevating people who are obedient to him to positions of influence, okay? This is what we're talking about. But it wasn't just so that Joseph would be rich and comfortable and have a nice house, because many Christians focus on this. Oh, I want my debts paid off. I'm going to have my house paid off, my car paid off, right? Paid in full, debt free. It's all focused on their needs and their wants. God calls us to be blessed so that we can actually be a blessing to other people. And this is something we have to understand. So if God has called you, for example, to the technology industry, okay? And there's a lot of new technology that's coming out. There's all kinds of new things. And there's all room for new inventions. That means God is sending you there so that you will transform that industry towards the light and you'll be a blessing to others. Okay? So Joseph recognized that he was sent there, and he did get blessed, but he was sent there to bring deliverance to other people. The places where God is sending us, there's lots of darkness. There's lots of people that are fumbling around. They don't know their left hand from their right. And this is what we have to understand. Now more than ever, people are desperate for the truth. I mean, people are so depressed now. People are so purposeless now. And they try to fill it with all kinds of empty, unfulfilling things, right? And meanwhile, you know, Christians, they might look at the media. Oh, look at how wicked the media is. It's just sex and violence and this and that. And it's all woke and this and that, right? They complain. But you have to understand, people don't know where to look for the truth. People don't know where the emptiness can be fulfilled. So rather than complaining about those things, we should be pointing the way to Christ. We need to be working that ground and planting those seeds. And the way it starts is you have to look at those things where God is sending you, and you need to start praying over them. Okay, and I mean seriously praying over them, not just this kind of general prayer. Something that the Holy Spirit has been having us at Freedom Fellowship Church do is that we've been getting assigned different regions, different states, different areas of the United States. And the Holy Spirit has been telling us, you're going to pray over this, right? But we're being told that you can't do a general sort of prayer, right? Right? Let's say, for example, oh, you're going to pray over Utah or something like that. Oh, Lord, bless Utah and may people get saved there, right? And that's it. That's as deep as you go. No, that's not good enough, because it means that you are taking a very passive sort of attitude towards this thing. Oh, I'm just going to pray something that's vaguely nice, and then God's going to do his thing, right? If this is something that you feel a sense of responsibility for, you will take care in understanding what is happening there. You will take care in understanding what the issues are in that arena, right? Which means, yeah, you got to put some work in. Yeah, you got to ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that I got to pray over? I don't understand what's happening. Okay? Wherever it is that God is sending you, wherever it is God is instructing you, you have to take the responsibility to understand everything that needs to be taken care of in that arena, right? And you got to work that ground. Something that happened all the way back in Genesis is when God created mankind in his image, he gave them the instruction that you're going to fill the earth, you're going to subdue it, and you're going to rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and every creature that moves on the ground. This was the first time that God instructed man to take dominion, right? This goes all the way back to creation, which is that this is the earth that I have created, and you're going to take dominion here in this earth. But in Genesis chapter 2, it actually goes into more detail, and this is really interesting, okay? It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." In verse 15, it says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden." Okay, he placed Adam there. "And he put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if you are to eat it, you will certainly die.'" Okay, now I want to stop here. Okay, so in this story, it says in verse 8, God planted the Garden of Eden. Okay, and then he placed Adam there. And he said, "I'm giving you charge of this. You're going to work the ground here. You're going to take care of it. This garden that I have built up, you are now given stewardship over it. Now, this image of a garden is really interesting because a garden is not something that occurs naturally, right? If nature is left to its own devices, there's lots of beautiful things that will come up, but you won't get a garden. A garden is something that is curated, right? It's something that you have to refine. It's something that you have to create, right? You have to kind of nurture nature and coerce it to creating a garden, all right? And a lot of times that means you got to till the ground, right? You got to get rid of all those ugly thorns that are going to choke out plants. Here in San Antonio, right, you dig like a foot deep and tink, you start hitting rocks. Tink, tink, right? It's just you can't go anywhere without hitting rocks because the soil here is so rocky. I remember we were planting rose bushes here, and then I ended up having to spend a week with a jackhammer just busting up rocks so that we could get the hole deep enough to plant these rose bushes, okay? But this is something that's really interesting, okay? So Adam, from the very beginning of creation, was given a job to do by God. Here, I have planted this garden. You're going to maintain it. You're going to improve it. You're going to work it. You have to understand, work is a good thing, and it's something from God. And all the way back in the Garden of Eden, God gave mankind a job to do. And even in heaven, we're going to have jobs to do, okay? And this is part of the reason why in the leadership position, there's no room for lazy people. You have to understand that those people that are going to step into leadership are going to be people that are willing to put the work in. So this idea that God has laid out for us, we're not leaving things as they are. He gave us this image of a garden, which is that we, through working and through obeying God, are going to take the world and make it into something even more beautiful. And that's something that we have done even now. You know, you look at botanists, they've crossbreeded flowers and been able to coerce flowers into creating new species and new colors and new shades that would not have occurred naturally in nature, right? It's like this whole thing where they're nurturing nature and making something more beautiful, very much like the Garden of Eden, okay? But you have to understand is that, so a garden cannot be created without putting work in. If the soil's rocky, you gotta get rid of those rocks. If the ground is hard, you gotta bust up that ground, okay? Where God's sending you, you're gonna have to begin tilling that soil. You're gonna have to begin putting some work in towards it. Many Christians that are immature have this misunderstanding of what it means to be a leader in the spiritual realm, okay? For example, at Freedom Fellowship Church, we encounter many self-appointed prophets and apostles that will show up and say, I'm a prophet of God, and now you need to listen to me, and they want to appoint themselves as head of the ministry. Meanwhile, they didn't have to put in any of the work. They didn't invest any time, any resources, anything into the ministry. Their idea is that, oh, well, all these people already built up my ministry, and now I just need to go there and sit on the throne. But what you have to understand is that this ministry is something that was built over now decades through the faith and obedience of somebody like Pastor Chris. You have to understand is that the Lord called her and said, you know, the Lord spoke to her and said, hey, I'm bringing a revival here to San Antonio. And she said, well, Lord, who's the ministry? You know, me and my husband, we can go and support him. We'll financially support them. We'll pray and fast, and we'll do whatever we can to support him. And the Lord spoke to her and said, what about you and Mike? You know, and from that moment on, it was like, okay, I guess we're pastors now. And this was back in 2002 or 2003. So from that moment on, both of them had to invest their money, their time, their resources into building up this ministry, okay? And so for a long period of time, they were working multiple jobs just to pay for the ministry because let's face it, when you're a pastor and you don't have any congregation, it comes out of your pocket, right? So they had to walk in obedience to that. And something you have to understand is that for many people, it will seem as though this transfer of influence and affluence came in an instant from the outside. But those people that God elevates to positions of authority are people who, without any recognition, without anybody noticing, have been obeying God in secret without the praises of men. And this is exactly what the story of Joseph tells us. You see, I want you to imagine you're some random officer or some random counselor in Pharaoh's party, right? And then suddenly, out of nowhere, this random slave who was thrown in prison is now appointed as prime minister over Egypt. And you might think to yourself, well, where did he even come from, right? He was a nobody, and now he's the most powerful man in the world, right? But you have to remember the walk that Joseph went through. When he was a slave, he was still trustworthy and faithful. When he was falsely imprisoned, he was still trustworthy and faithful. All of those things were preparation. But a lot of people, the Lord will call them, maybe as a prophet, maybe as an apostle, and they want to skip all the work. They don't want to have to walk in faith. Instead, they want somebody to accept them and establish them to where, oh, yes, yes, you're a prophet. We'll praise you and we'll elevate you. Here's your titles. Here's your accolades. And we'll do whatever you say, right? They just want to be able to sit on the throne like a king without putting any of the work in. But even now, you have to understand that Pastor Chris, she prays more than anybody in Freedom Fellowship. She hears from God more than anybody in Freedom Fellowship because she understands the responsibility of the position that was put to her. And this is what it looks like for anybody that God places in leadership. You take on the responsibility. You see, in the kingdom of God, being given dominion and authority is not separate from having responsibility. And this goes all the way back to the garden. Adam and Eve were given dominion over the earth, but they also had to work the ground. They had to water those plants, right? You have to be willing to put the work in. So what does that look like? For example, you're called to the entertainment industry, okay? What does putting the work in and working the ground look like? Well, the way that it can start is you can start looking at that arena in the spiritual realm and start praying over it. And I mean seriously praying over it, not just some general prayer, oh Lord, do the, you know, oh Lord, may it be good, right? Just some general vague prayer. No, you need to start hearing from God and having targeted prayers to where you're tilling that ground, okay? You should be tilling the ground, busting up those rocks before you even get there. Do you understand what I'm saying? And this applies to any area where God sends you, because if you have a responsibility to that arena, to that land God is giving you, you'll take it more seriously, right? Because let's face it, so specifically in the entertainment industry, there's lots of issues. There's a lot of people here that don't even realize they're headed towards destruction. And this is exactly what it was like with Joseph. Everyone in Egypt, everyone in the world had no idea that they were bent on destruction. They were going to starve to death because of this great famine. But it was because of Joseph they were saved. And this is what it's going to be like for us. So if you're sent to the entertainment industry or whatever you're sent, those people have no idea. They're on the road towards destruction. They don't realize that they're drowning in darkness. But if you obey God, you will be instrumental in bringing deliverance to them and driving away that darkness, which means there will be a supernatural transformation in the culture there. There will be a supernatural transformation in even the way people think, right? Just the way that they think in their day-to-day in all of those industries, because it's going to be repositioned to being in the kingdom of God. And this goes all the way to Revelation, right? The kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is what we're working towards, guys, okay? So you have to be willing to put the work in. Wherever it is that God is giving you stewardship of, no matter how small it is, take it seriously. Pray over it. Fast if you have to. Hear from God and start working that ground. We have to be willing to put the work in. And it's not just something that, oh yes, you're going to automatically just go in there and then now you're in charge and everybody has to listen to you. It's going to be something to where those people who are willing to obey God without any recognition of man, without any praises, even in the secret place, they're obeying God and nobody even knows about it. And maybe they're doing it for years. But those are the people who God is going to elevate. And for outsiders, it'll look like, where did this person come from? Just like with Joseph. But they'll know it was for years of faithfulness and obedience to God. So hopefully this encourages all of you to continue to press onward and be strong in your faith. Continue to persevere. Amen. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I'm actually out of time for this day. But don't forget, remember, Pastor Chris is going to be going to the Philippines in this next month. So continue to cover her in prayer. And as always, if you want to support this ministry or support this mission, I encourage you to go to our website, sogmi.org. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the prophetic voice of our time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.